Well, we'll stone you if you agree to pay some tax. We'll stone you to get the creditors off our backs. And then we'll stone you because we really need the cash. And we'll stone you because we need that money fast. There's no bank that wants to give us a loan. Californians must get stoned. Well, we'll stone you because we can't use IOUs. And we'll stone you and we'll tax your Twinkies too, yeah. Then we'll stone you because we're billions of dollars in debt. And we'll stone you because we need every cent we can get.
True, other stations promise outstanding content. But when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
Go Shorty, it's your birthday, and you can party like it's your birthday at this beautiful 50,000 square foot Connecticut estate. Live like a PIMP in this 19-bedroom, 19-bath, Mediterranean-style mansion that sits on 17 fat acres. Get your drink on in its one-of-a-kind party room that features a disco. You'll feel like you're in the club without leaving your home. Chill with your homies in the private screening and game room, kick it with the hoes in the 40-person hot tub, or spit some dope rhymes in the state-of-the-art recording studio. Offered at just $18 million, we guarantee you won't be hating on this beautiful property. Let the celly and call for an appointment to see this outstanding crib today.
This station presents Real American Heroes. Today, we salute you, Mr. Neighborhood Association President.
Mr. Neighborhood Association President.
You campaigned for weeks, held barbecues, shook hands, and kissed babies. Now, you are in complete control of the planned community covenants, and you rule with an iron fist.
A development dynasty.
Yes, Mr. Neighborhood Association President, you enforce fence heights, garbage container uniformity, and lawn watering schedules armed with the wisdom of King Solomon.
Is my hedge too high, Your Grace?
You even judge the holiday decorating contest.
And your house always wins, yeah.
So the next time you're digging up your mailbox post because it's 1.5 inches too short, put down your shovel and raise your arm and salute to the Sultan of Suburbia, Mr. Neighborhood Association President, a real American hero.
Mr. Neighborhood Association President.
What? No, I wasn't going to put in a pool. No, not me.
And now it's time for the best morning show on radio, broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio in Studio City, California. Get ready for Sam in the Morning.
Yes, good morning and welcome to Monday, September 21st, and I'm not alone in the studio anymore.
Yay!
And Sherry's here. Welcome to you, Sherry.
Thank you so much.
It's so nice to have you.
Oh, it's so nice to be here, really. And my friends love you.
They do?
Well, yeah, you have a new group of friends because now they don't have to listen to me anymore. I have an outlet now to be able to just talk.
Well, that's awesome. So you're in the right place.
Absolutely.
In your element, right?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Except it's fucking hot here as hell this morning.
Really? I'm not feeling it yet.
No, it's just, I don't know, they haven't fixed the air yet. We just don't ever have luck with the air conditioning. I don't know what the fuck it is.
Just pretend you're in Alaska and you'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Just close your eyes and it's cold in here. You're funny.
Yeah, so, well, welcome to your first day officially.
Yes, it is my official first day.
Yes.
I woke up with this huge smile on my face. I'm like, I'm doing radio.
Finally, huh?
Sam's going to hate me after a while, too, and be like, shut up, Sherry.
On your way to your TV talk show.
Oh, I'm right here, though, right here in the moment, so I'm really excited to be here.
Awesome, awesome. And we have Kelly back in the studio.
Yes, we do. Yay.
Kelly, good morning to you.
Good morning, guys.
You're looking as good as you did last week.
Uh-huh. Really?
Which is cool, yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Do you always put that bandana on or whatever you want to call it?
Just when I have to wake up early.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it's because of the hair?
Meh.
and bad hair day?
I'll mix it up for you.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, it doesn't look that great, but...
Oh, I was going to wear mine today, and then I was like, well, Kelly might. I don't want to look like we were in a gang together.
Right?
I'll wear my red one.
Yeah, wear
Bloods
a red
and
one.
Crips.
I don't have a red one anymore, just blue.
Oh, so. I have a whole collection. I'll bring you one.
I'll just stick with my blue.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Kelly McCarty, and you were with us here last week, and you told us all about your past and stuff, which is just amazing. I mean, I started researching you afterwards.
So did I.
Yeah. and then I look at some of the pictures on the internet. I go, yeah, softcore, right?
Yeah. The real reason Sam has you back is because he never really got to talk about your boobs.
That's right, yeah.
Left
but softcore my ass, I was telling myself. I mean, this big cock and you're riding it and stuff. Give me a fucking break. That's no softcore in my book.
Start somewhere.
Yeah, that's true. But then you did mention the movie you did yourself. I just didn't realize that was a hardcore one, but I should have known if it's Vivid,
then
right?
You said that. I did say that.
Yeah.
What part of...
You see, what part of that I didn't remember? A lot.
He was still thinking about you doing all of Kansas.
Oh, right. Back to the football team. Okay, well,
yeah.
Yes, I was fucking.
Yeah.
Honestly. It was real.
Yeah. So, I mean, what does it feel like to have your pussy out there for everybody to see? Sherry's joking.
I love my job.
9 a.m.
I know. Wow, let's get the day started.
Wake up, everybody.
Did you think about that question all night, Sam? Like, what's the first question I'm going to ask her?
Damn, you figured me out.
Let's talk about your coochie.
Well, you don't have to answer that, but...
I think it's...
But no, what about that? Yeah. Yeah. No, so, it doesn't bother you, though, right? I mean, you don't regret things you did.
No, I'm totally fine with my vajayjay out there.
Now,
good, I'm glad
okay
you use that word. I like it.
Now, when you date and stuff, I mean, does this pose a problem with guys sometimes?
You know, I haven't really been dating since the movie because...
They're all intimidated.
I don't know.
It's like, look at the size of that dick.
Yeah. Because they know about one of the guys in the movie, he goes by Voodoo. Mm-hmm. And even when I told my mom about the movie, she was like... Who's in it? And I said, well, there's a guy named Voodoo. She goes, oh, yeah, I know Voodoo. I'm like, what? Like, mother, like, daughter.
I was just going to say that.
Holy crap.
Oh, maybe you should do a movie like that. Would that be weird?
Yeah,
probably. Okay, yeah. That's gross.
What,
Sherry.
With your mom?
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Oh, Sherry.
I don't know. Show you coming out of the womb and how she got pregnant with
God.
You. With Voodoo's dad.
I bet your mom's pretty hot, too, right?
Yeah, my mom is... She's smoking. She's like 62, and she still wears a bikini.
Really?
Oh, nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
she's
amazing.
Just like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Damn jeans.
So Sherry's thinking.
I got the fat jeans.
Like,
great. Thanks, Mom.
You look super hot today.
Thank you.
You really do. I mean, you look hot all the time.
Thank you.
You got to take it easy on yourself.
No.
We're going to put you through a rigorous program here.
Only if I'm lucky. Are we bringing in male guests?
No, it's not going to be that way. It'll be more cerebral.
Damn.
Yeah.
I already do that for myself every morning with my mantras.
You do?
I do.
That's why you look all fresh and glowy today.
That was because of my dream.
Yeah.
I had to be angelic today. Because I was, this is going to sound corny, but every day or every night, like before I go to bed or when I wake up, I pray to God or the universe and think, you know, I feel like we're all here for a specific reason, you know, to share our own light. Like we all have a unique, you know, thing about us. And so
we're here to talk shit all
right,
day.
Right, exactly.
That's our purpose.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, so I was like, well, what am I today? Not what am I, but like, what am I supposed to share today? Like, this is what I was thinking last night. Uh-huh. And I had a dream that I was supposed to talk about butterflies and rainbows.
That's a dream?
No, I know. And then I woke
Wrong
up and
show.
I was like, exactly. I was like, it was because my subconscious was like, okay, enough about circle jerks and lesbians. Let's talk about like puppies and rainbows. And then I woke up. I was like, fuck that.
Yeah.
I was like, hear about that shit. Go to a zoo.
She was saying she was going to talk about church today. And I was like, I can't wait for this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what do you want to say about church?
That
didn't go.
That you are really lucky if you're an altar boy. No kidding.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a little too much. Yeah.
I know. That was a little over the top.
It is, but you're right.
I should have been a church member. Maybe I would have got banged by my priest.
There you go. You Well, rabbis do that to these days.
Well, true.
Too,
I didn't go to any of that. Okay. And that's about all I know about church.
Yeah.
You get fucked in the head and in the ass. Wow.
Oh,
so back to your pussy.
Wow. Yeah.
So you said you haven't dated since the movie. When was the movie? When did that take place?
Let's see. I shot the movie. It's just a little over a year ago.
Oh, I see.
So it came out in February. Ago. Yeah, not that long
ago. Oh, I see. Okay.
But yeah, I keep getting all these comments like, well, I saw your movie and the guy. And I'm like, yeah, it's the guy. But I mean, I got to say, he was so enormous that that's not normal for me.
Mm.
I mean, I think it was fantastic, but it's like... It was a bit much.
Well, the good thing is you're an overachiever, so I'm sure you worked today just fine.
Thank you.
She went for the best, for the biggest.
I have to tell you, though, like, I'm a little nervous of your fans because I'm already getting your friend requests on Facebook. This morning it was like, you have 3 new friend requests, and I'm thinking, oh, it's from the show. And then I look at the friend in common and it says Kelly, and I'm like, great. I'm suddenly going to be in porn with you.
Okay. Get ready, my friend.
Well, that's how you start with the wrong friend.
Or at least I'll have new masturbation stories. New fantasies to think about.
Because they come out of the woodwork. I mean, I love them. They're amazing, but it's intense.
So that was a pretty big guy in the movie?
Well, there were 2 different guys, not at the same time.
Right.
Sam.
Right. Oh, excuse me.
So calm down.
Yeah, I never go there.
Get ready. Between Sherry and I. He was like probably one of the biggest.
Really? Like what? 10, 12 inches?
Really? God, I wish someone could tweeter it exactly, because I don't know. Mm. Yeah.
What's his name?
It's okay. We don't need to know the exact size. Voodoo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll look him up and see.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but you knew what he was like before you started, right?
Yeah,
you,
I watched his movies, and I cast him.
I see, yeah. Well, that's pretty cool. Yeah, I want to fuck this guy. Let me put him on the film, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, as soon as he was in the room, I was like, immediately, I'm like, boom.
Really?
Definitely him.
Really?
Oh, no doubt.
So nothing happened in the personal life between you?
Mm-mm. He's married.
Oh, he's married.
But I guess they have a very open...
Duh.
You think? Yeah. So, he's hiding from his wife. His wife has no idea what his job is. By the way, this didn't work in the Google. Voodoo porn star cock size. It's not showing up. It's just giving me penis size links.
What do you mean it's not showing up?
Well, I don't know if maybe Google doesn't recognize the word cock. Or like, got rooster thing showing up here.
Just put in my name. You'll see. Eventually, you'll see his
cock
in my mouth.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good idea.
Or her writing it.
Right. I'll just look at it. I'll tell you the inches.
Yeah.
I'll be like, that's 9.2. Just by looking at it.
Yeah. Okay. No, I was writing the other one.
Right. Okay.
Like,
that was the other guy.
Yeah,
that
it was the other guy.
Okay, I got you. Okay. Yeah. So one you were only blowing and the other guy you actually...
No, I did both.
Right, but
one
you didn't
with Voodoo. I didn't. Because we were outside on a car.
Uh-huh.
Which was,
that a little makes
tricky.
It difficult? To ride him.
Yeah, exactly. Because I didn't want to, like, bang up my knees.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'll take a rug burn anytime, but I didn't want to bang up my knees on the
right.
car.
I see.
Did you have the car, like, humming? Like, was it on? A little vibration?
No, it wasn't. I didn't need it. Yeah, it was.
You didn't need it.
It was all Voodoo.
Do you guys, like, I've always, because I watch porn, do you guys, like, have, like, a meet and greet beforehand? Like, sit down and have, like, coffee talk before you fuck somebody?
You know what? I don't know in general what the protocol is, but I know, like, the guy who played my husband, he came into the bedroom the morning before we were going to shoot our love scene, and he goes, so, do you want to, like, get to know anything about me? And I was like... When he said that, it sort of turned me off, and I'm like, I think I should just not talk to him, because
You're such a dude. Like,
yeah,
I need to get to know you. Let's just fuck.
Yeah. He comes in like, his white robe, and he's like, so, and he sat down on the bed next to me, and I was like, I looked over at my makeup artist, I just started cracking up. I'm like,
really?
That didn't make him feel insecure. He's like,
yeah, I'm good. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't think that they have, like, a big rap, before, but I could be wrong.
Just not on your set.
I didn't really care about,
I don't care about
chit-chat.
You guys.
Yeah.
Let's just get right
just
to
bang.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we might as well plug your site so people can see what we're talking about. So you have Kelly McCarty, which is like your normal site, site, right?
Yeah.
Very good, Sam. You're normal.
Yeah.
The other one? abnormal.
Well, you got to the other one. It's pretty.
It's right in your face, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. That's why I got distracted last time we were sitting here instead of sight, and I was just like, I was like going off into La La Land. I'm like, pay attention, pay attention. Yeah. Lip gloss and the tongue.
Yeah. I know, right? Yeah. Yeah, you can go there. It's KellyUSA.com. So.
Right. KellyUSA is the one with the with the sex and stuff. But you know what? I've seen some of your pictures when you were Miss USA and stuff, and she totally doesn't look like it,
completely different.
I know.
Like a different
totally
person.
Different, right. But that was when you were, what, 21 or something?
I was 21.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
And you're blonde.
I was blonde, and I think my cheeks were a little bit like more baby fat, and
you look so innocent and shit, you know.
It's true,
really?
But I do like you as a brunette, though.
Thank you.
I like your acting headshots; they're really pretty.
Thanks.
I love those. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah,
thanks,
that's
good.
True. So, what did I want to ask? I mean, there's so much I want to ask.
To start.
But anyway.
How was your weekend?
My weekend was great. We had barbecue and stuff. We had Rosh Hashanah dinner and all that. You know what that is, right?
I do.
Yeah, I know you're not Jewish, but, you know.
No.
Yeah.
But you're talking to the Jew and the Jewess.
Yeah, the Jew and the Jewess. And then we have the Shiksa over here.
Yeah.
Although I could fit in that category, too.
Yeah, we're not observing Jews, from what I gathered so far.
No, I don't know. Well, living in Kansas, it's like I didn't know anything about...
You didn't know about Jews. You didn't even know what
really
it was.
I didn't really know about Jews.
Yeah, that's very funny. I don't think they have many in Kansas.
The only thing I knew is my family, and they just complained a lot and were cheap. Left really bad tips. But now they don't because I'm in the service industry, so they know how to.
Oh,
but yeah, I didn't know much, yeah. I mean, even honestly, that it was the New Year the other day, the only reason why I knew it is because they said it on Facebook.
Yeah.
It was like people were wishing each other. I was like, oh, shit. That's why my mom was calling me.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Don't observe it.
Yeah, and then next week there's Yom Kippur where you're supposed to fast and everything and not do anything pleasurable at all. At all. So I
actually follow that day. That day of
really?
The year. Because I have
too
much guilt.
Yeah, I used
guilt.
To. I know.
Really
it's all about the guilt, you know? So
the only way religion keeps you in line.
Well, no, it's true. Like, I'm just like, if it is real, not that it's not real, but if this like really happens, I'll like at least be good one day of the year, Sherry. Yeah. Like, you don't want to die.
So, like, what do you not do?
Well, you don't eat. You're not supposed to watch TV. You're not supposed to have sex. You know, all this stuff, you know? And, obviously, drinking. You know, all that stuff you're not supposed to do.
It's supposed to be in prayer,
but,
really.
Yeah, you know.
Asking for forgiveness.
But most people don't, you know. I mean, people go and they rent DVDs and shit, you know, and they just watch movies. And but, you know, I mean, I used to do that. And then I realized, you know what, I'm not into this religion anymore. You know, I got to stop with this. But I still have the guilt.
But that's strange, though. But that's strange to me, though, because you grew up in Israel. I mean, you're from there, so you're surrounded by it all the time.
Exactly.
It's strange that, like, you actually, like, ventured off from that.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, because people in Israel are more traditional. Because, like, the whole country sort of celebrates it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like, on Yom Kippur, you go outside, there's no cars in the street. Nobody drives, you know, so people walk in the street and stuff like that, you know. So, but then it's like you realize it's not for me, you know. I mean, it's just like it doesn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, what the fuck? At the same time, it's not too bad to fast for a day, you know.
Right. I mean, I found like Judaism, as far as, you know, religion goes, more about tradition than it is about anything else. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you should live your life, I mean, anyway, like a certain particular way, a good way. But I found it more just like, you know, you're celebrating things that happened years ago and that stuff, which is why I was always able to follow it for so long, you know, until they try to put rules on me. Then I'm like, nope, not following those.
Yeah.
I'm a rebel.
Yeah, I'm a teenager now.
Yeah. Well, as soon as they start telling you what to do and not
right.
to do, that's it.
I'm just like,
for
be
me,
good
so.
To people, respect people, and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
You know, is
yeah.
God really going to hate you because you have sex before marriage? Like, really? I mean,
yeah, like, you know. God really gives a shit. Yeah.
God's busy getting a blowjob himself.
Yeah, like, he's got nothing better to do
I
than
just,
worry about six,
so.
6 billion people masturbating and having sex.
That's actually a line in my one woman show that I'm writing. It was like, God really enjoys me. No, I said, God must really enjoy me being single. Either that or he really enjoys watching me masturbate.
Yeah. Probably,
God.
I'm sure it's quite a sight.
Well, I don't know how to take that,
all right.
Sam.
We have a phone call. Let's take a phone call.
Oh, cool.
Good morning, you're on the air. Who's this? You gotta
Hello?
Turn yes, you gotta turn down your computer back there. Because we're hearing ourselves in your background. Hello? Hello? Okay, we already heard ourselves. Yeah.
We know what we said.
To the replay. Good morning to you. Who's calling?
This is Tommy from New York.
Oh, Tommy from New York. Now, Tommy's been writing to me the past few days, and he loves both of you girls, you know?
And oh, boy. Hi, Tommy. Yeah. You have good taste.
Tommy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He was talking about your taste in cum on faces and stuff.
Well, so was the rest of the world.
Apparently, yeah.
So let's let Tommy talk.
Well, thank you.
Sure. So what's going
on? I had quite an interesting experience with you, Sam, and Sherry over the weekend.
With us?
I wasn't there.
You guys were there in voice only.
Really? Wow. What? Tell us all about that.
Whoa.
Well, back in the day in the 80s, I used to be a masseuse. Uh-huh. And I like to celebrate my birthday, most of my friends do with me, I don't know, a week ahead of time, and every day therefore, and every
that's
day
a great idea.
Well.
Yeah,
birthday week, birthday
and,
month.
I got an invitation in the middle of last week to give two full body massages to a lesbian couple.
Oh, and, wow!
They as the week progressed, they continuously called me to tell me their preparation techniques.
Oh,
and
they have preparation techniques.
Apparently, they do.
I see what it is like to polish up your shaft.
Well, that happened after the fact, but imagine my surprise when I got a phone call at 7 a.m. telling me they were sitting in the jacuzzi because I had said to them, "There's no way I'm putting my hands on you unless you ladies are clean." They got a little offended because they thought I was talking about STDs.
Yeah,
these masseuses with standards.
Exactly. I was talking about, I want to make sure I'm not putting my hands on somebody who stinks or somebody who's dirty. Or
yeah, God forbid.
So I got a phone call at 7 a.m., I guess it was Saturday morning, telling me that they were in the jacuzzi together, shaving themselves down, so I didn't have to worry about that. And I got the chuckle of the day when they said, you can call the construction crew in because we now have blacktop.
So they were shaving each other in the jacuzzi.
Yeah, and speaking to me on speakerphone, it was definitely enticing.
Really?
And they took me over to their house on Saturday afternoon, and for my birthday they made a nice three-course meal.
Really? That's just for a massage. Now, did you know them before?
Yes. Kelly was friends with
Oh, you're putting names on air.
Oh, yeah. They gave me permission after listening to you guys to talk about everything.
Really?
Yeah, okay. I'm wondering how I'm involved in the story. I'm like, my heart's palpitating.
Go on.
Actually, Sherry, what did it for them was when they listened to your broadcast from last week about the your birthday with the bus boys and then being slammed up against the wall in the ladies' bathroom and having a tongue down your throat. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I have a new name for my book, Birthday with Bus Boys.
Every girl's dream.
They actually got off on the idea that I would be able to call you guys and talk about it on the air.
Really?
And they said as long as I didn't mention their last names, they were great with it.
That's cool. So they prepared a meal for you and stuff, and what happened afterwards? Did you go and start the massage and everything?
Well, no, actually, afterwards, I'm on a pretty strict diet, and after eating as much as they fed me, no pun intended, I ended up having to take a little break in the jacuzzi myself, and there was, as you just said, Cherry, a little meet and greet where they decided to make sure I was clean as well, so I, for the first time, had two women shave me.
Wow.
And let me tell you, I don't know how in the world you guys deal with it because the itching factor after that really sucks.
I'm sure. Shit.
Yeah.
Walking around scratching my balls was not what I was expecting to do.
Wow. So, now, I mean, why was it important for them to shave you down there?
They wanted someone clean, too.
Irony and tit for tat, so to speak.
I see.
But afterwards, yes, we went into the giving massages, 4 hours worth of such. And I learned some things that even myself didn't know. Masseuse table has multiple things you can use it for.
Oh, yeah?
Duh.
Yeah, you know the little thing that you put your face into?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Well, if you flip your body over,
and put your ass
it
in there.
Acts as a very nice cradle, and you can have a 125-pound woman sit on your face without doing damage to your neck.
Sounds good to me.
it was definitely one of those things that will go in the book. If I would have known they were this open, I would have set up the the video cam, and I too could have been on RedTube.
Yeah, there you go.
But I'm not sure that they really need an extra video out there of two lesbian women and a guy with shaved junk.
Yeah, there you go.
Out there.
Yeah.
Are you guys going to do this again? Because then you could set
actually,
up the video camera. So.
I mean, the one thing that any guy wants to hear is, was it good for you? Yes, yes. But because I'm unattached, they have welcomed me to do this on a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was kind of ironic, since they're on Facebook with me, to publicly post on their walls and statuses how wonderful they thought it all was.
Really?
Wow. I did not expect the 20 emails I got from all the rest of my friends asking me, what the fuck?
Yeah. So now, I mean, so you gave him a massage for 4 hours. I mean, obviously you can't do it at the same time. So you were
actually,
going back and forth?
Actually, I can give one, and then I can have the other woman participate with me.
I see. Okay.
While I'm giving one massage, it was myself and Karen while we were massaging Kelly, and then when Karen was on the table, it was Kelly and I massaging Karen.
Mm-hmm.
After the fact, I wasn't expected to be jumped,
right.
But I wasn't arguing with it either.
So wait a minute. So they jumped you, but they're lesbians.
Oh, yeah. Well, not all lesbians are not bisexual.
Oh, I see.
Wait, okay. So back to me.
yeah, how do I get into something like that?
Wait. So my question is, so you guys were all together and listening to our show?
Like, well, after I told them about the provocative nature of your show and the fact that we could actually discuss everything prolifically as well, they wanted to hear. So they were listening to you, Sherry, while they were breaking out their rabbit and breaking out the toy. And then I actually, you know, I was wishing that at that point you guys had a picture of Sherry up on the site.
Oh, shush!
I think that would have really done the job, you know?
Oh, wow, I'm so red.
You really...
I'm so glad I did not share this website with my dad.
What was that, Tommy?
I said, I think that they said that they thought you had one of the most sexy and sultry voices on the air that they'd ever heard.
Really?
Well, maybe I should get into phone sex.
Yeah, there you go. There's a lot of money in that, too.
I'm surprised you haven't already.
No. Okay.
So you got to come clean here. I mean, did you have sex with him or with either one of them? You did?
Oh, yes.
Wow.
A resounding yes.
So you had a threesome with them?
Multiple times.
Wow.
Okay.
Now you see, I
was very surprised at 7 a.m. yesterday morning when Kelly woke up and was sitting there pushing Karen and I together and was pleasuring herself in a chair across the way watching us.
Oh, man.
How old are all you guys?
I'm going to pleasure myself right now, man.
Kelly is 32.
Uh-huh.
And Karen is 44.
Yeah.
Perfect
as
well
ages.
As myself.
Yeah, wow. Perfect ages. So I guess you're full-time back into massages then, right?
He found his love for it again.
For $130 an hour that they were willing to pay me, I think I definitely need to go back to school.
Yeah, well, you've definitely got a story there, you know, for Penthouse Letters or something, you know.
Oh, it's definitely in the memory book.
Yeah. I can't believe they actually paid you.
Yeah.
No, they said if they had to, because Kelly's a professional massage therapist, and she said if I was doing this to other people, it would be $130 an hour.
Yeah.
After 4 hours, hell, I made a week's worth of pay right there.
Yeah, there you go. And it's business, you know. Business is business. You gotta pay first,
business,
and then you play later.
So but how do you figure out like the rate? You know, like, you know, if you would have done that, it would have been $140. Like, I mean, how much does a blowjob go for these days?
Happy ending inclusive.
Okay. Wow, I'm going to learn a lot right here.
Well, you're definitely a wild one, man, let me tell you, and definitely fortunate enough, you know.
Yes, I guess that most men actually wish that they could have those kind of experiences.
Yeah, definitely.
And I hadn't had the experience myself since I was in college in 95.
Wow.
This wasn't the first time I had this.
Yeah. Will you thank the ladies for me?
Oh,
and I'm very flattered.
Actually, what they actually said was they were hoping that I would call so that they can enjoy listening to the replay in their leisure to enjoy themselves yet again.
Okay. So maybe we should provide a little vibration for them too. You know, like.
Yeah. You know? Do yeah, your like, thing, Sherry.
Yeah. I ask for a raise.
Well,
but I love listening to you guys out here on the East Coast.
Thank you.
And
thanks.
I'm glad Sherry's with you guys now permanent because you guys rock.
Thank
wonderful,
you.
Wonderful. And I think Kelly's a lot of fun as well, and she's got damn
absolutely
a lot of lesbian stories too, I'm sure. So
oh, yeah, we haven't even gotten into
that. Yeah, we haven't gotten into that yet.
About, all the stories that she tells.
Yeah, well, you stay tuned in the coming days, and you will. I promise you.
Can we make this a 24-hour broadcast? I don't ever want to leave.
Yeah, exactly.
Set up some massage tables in here. Get Tommy out here.
Well, Tommy, great story, my man. And thank you so much for establishing the contact with us. You're a lot of fun. And yeah, he took out some time to really write some long emails and stuff. So it's really cool, you know, because I mean, when we get the feedback, then it makes it all worth it.
Absolutely,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, there's someone out there listening and they actually care, you know.
Yeah, and awesome. It's not just our friends.
Exactly.
It's awesome.
Yeah. But we'll definitely give you stories every day to you and your lesbian friends there.
So no, we'll I'm talking about butterflies and rainbows.
Oh, I see. Okay. And the church.
Well, it kind of fits in it. Some way, I guess, Sherry.
Yeah. Facebook us, okay?
Okay, got it.
All right, Tommy. Thanks so much. Do you have anything you want to plug? Do you have a website or something that you want people to find you?
No, not at the moment. Actually, I'm working as an event photographer, not a masseuse. Mm-hmm. And I also am a writer. Mm-hmm. And I do everything from lyrics for songwriting, poetry, philosophical thoughts, and actually stories, you know, and
so what I you're saying is you're unemployed.
No, actually I have my own corporation. I work for myself.
Really? Wow.
And,
130 an hour.
Yeah. After today, I'll have a masseuse business. Suddenly back into massage.
Yeah, there you go. Get back into that, you know. I would imagine you get laid quite a bit.
I don't have any complaints.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, definitely. I mean, I was thinking once of being a hairdresser, you know, to have access to a lot of pussy and stuff. But then I realized, no, it's not me, you know. I'm not going to humiliate myself.
And most women are going to think you're gay anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Hair, honestly.
I would not let a straight man cut my hair.
Really?
Like, no.
Hell no.
No. Uh-uh.
Well, a lot of women do, let me tell you.
Not
there's
so much.
There's a lot of straight guys, too. And I know they got into it to get laid, you know. I mean, you just know it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I thought that's what OBGYNs did.
Oh,
I don't know. That's a flip side of that, man.
That's just my fantasy, sorry.
You don't always get hot chicks. Well, it's your fantasy that your gynecologist will do you.
Oh, my God.
But they're never good looking.
Actually.
Try with a woman.
Look at her. She's nodding. Kelly's nodding.
I really like mine.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Let me find out his name later.
Okay.
Yeah. But that, you see, but that's the problem is not all chicks are hot chicks. So I'm sure they're going to have to look at a lot of older, you know, wrinkled women and stuff, you know, and probably stinky and that, you know. So, yeah, I don't know that I want to do that.
Do you guys like? I'm saying you guys, if you're
go to a
chairman. I was like, do you guys, when you're sitting out in the waiting room, do you look at the other girls and you're like wondering sort of like what's going on down there and what the doctor's going to have to like get into? I kind of do.
Do you? No. Yeah. I just constantly, like, I'm praying out there, please don't get wet while you're in there with them. I'm not lying either. I'm always just like, because I'm so nervous.
Only Sherry would get wet from a gynecologist, man.
Well, I go to bed. I've got a problem, okay? My nickname's Niagara Falls. Sorry. Butterflies right. And rainbows.
This is why I was expecting with an OBGYN.
Yeah.
How did we get there?
Yeah. Thanks to you, Jerry. All right, Tommy, listen, thanks so much for calling, man. You're a lot of fun. And stay in touch. You're definitely a friend of the show.
Oh, definitely. Long time listener.
Awesome.
Well, guys, have a good day.
Thanks, you too.
Bye.
Bye-bye now.
Well, that's Tommy for you.
Yeah. Wow, that's an interesting story.
Yeah, they come out of the woodwork, you know. You start talking about lesbians, people come out of the
suddenly
woodwork.
Suddenly lesbians are listening to me, and they're all getting off with rabbits while I'm talking about busboys and me. I am becoming famous. Damn it.
Do you have rabbits on your favorites on your Facebook?
No, but I'm going to.
Yeah.
Wow, between you and I being friends now, Kelly, and your fans, and now these, jeez.
Yeah.
Actually, okay. We could design our own sort of rabbit-esque kind of thing and do a little side business.
Yeah.
Right.
What do you mean about that? I mean, are you talking about the rabbits on the vibrator?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I'm on the same page as
yeah.
you. Okay.
Yeah.
What about that? Well, are you asking her if she has pictures of it?
No. I was thinking maybe we could redesign something and have our own product line.
Oh, sounds good to me.
I'm always, yeah. I'm an entrepreneur. So yeah,
exactly.
And I always need someone to push me along, right. So and then I follow through.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can take a mold of me, you know, and get the shape right. I may not be voodoo, but I'll give you some magic. I'll give you black magic.
That's good. It's going to be the problem after every guy that I ever sleep with next. I'm like, yeah, that's great, but you're not voodoo.
Yeah, you're not voodoo. So he spoiled you already after one movie.
But that doesn't even feel that good when you're that big.
No, it was not. I mean, it was, but it was
right.
not.
After a while. After like a while, right like when it's already. Coming out through your mouth.
Seriously. Yeah. Already.
But I mean, where would they fit a 12-inch? I mean, obviously it doesn't go all the way in, you know, because I don't think women have 12 inches in there to get there, you know. I mean, I'm not 12 inches, but you know, I always
no,
feel
you're
like
not.
I'm.
No, forget it. I'm out of here.
Yeah, but I'm always reaching the walls, you know. There's like a dam there.
That's what happens when you sleep with 6-year-old Sam.
Oh man. Okay. when I was 6, I wasn't that big. Not yet, anyway. But I was on the way.
Okay. I don't know where it goes. I've actually wondered that myself, too. But yeah. I guess it just doesn't go all the way in.
No, it doesn't go all the way. But you know what I always wondered is, like, it kind of, like, makes sense. Like, if you look at, like, Asians, right? They have little ones for the most part. It's a stereotype, but mm-hmm. for the most part, they do.
Mm-hmm.
And then the women are small, too, you know? So you wonder if it's, like, made to accommodate each
right.
other, you know? So, but what does it say about blacks when blacks have really big cocks? What about the women, you know? I mean, they're obviously equipped to handle that, that
but
length.
But think about their lips, though, too.
Yeah, that's
black
true.
Black women's lips?
Yeah.
You know, they're big enough to get around
true.
A big black cock. It's almost like chameleons. I mean, like actual like animals in the, you know, in the jungle, like how they like fit in with their backgrounds. Like, I wonder if it's a, you know.
Yeah.
Well, have you ever been with a black guy?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you have, right?
Uh-huh. She has. She's
with
like
a big
nodding.
Smile. I'm like, yeah.
I've
yeah.
been with everyone for credit.
You know, I told you, no Asians.
Oh, no Asians?
No, unless I want anal.
But there might be some big ones. You never know, you know. But but yeah, I don't know. Did you ever watch like Japanese porn and stuff? I mean, the humiliation they put the girls through, you know, is amazing. Have you seen that?
Just like the anime thing, like the cartoon.
Oh,
porn.
No.
Right.
You gotta
Japanese,
watch the real
right.
Japanese one. I mean, it looks like rape, you know? I mean, these chicks don't look like they enjoy themselves. And I'm talking about like mainstream, not like underground illegal
really?
Stuff.
Really? Like,
yeah.
What do they do to them?
I don't know. They just like... You know, stick stuff in them and stuff. You know, and they got to make sure they come on their faces.
Yeah.
And but the girls,
that's humiliating.
It's like, yeah.
Like,
well, it is.
That sounds like fun.
I don't know. You've got to watch it.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know. It feels like it's humiliating. You know.
Probably because also the Asian women are so quiet and like, you know, they seem so demure.
Yeah,
you know what
but
I mean?
I don't
so
buy
probably,
it.
Right.
I
right.
don't buy it.
No,
yeah.
You think they actually like it?
Mm-hmm. I do. I do. I think it's a bit of an act.
Yeah.
You know, they're supposed to be,
right.
you know, politically correct for them. And it's like, I think that's all very acted out.
Yeah. You but, know? You know, something I noticed in the Japanese porn is the women, when they moan, it's like totally different from the way other people moan, you know? It's always like, you know? It's like, yeah, or something like that.
It's
I don't
annoying.
Know. Yeah, but it is really annoying. It's like they're crying, you know? And you're like, I don't want to fuck you if you're going to cry. I don't know how to deal with women crying.
We've already discussed that, haven't we? Yeah. Not even in the bedroom? Wow.
No,
okay.
It's not fair to a man for a woman to cry, man. Because we don't know how to react to it, you know?
You get all uncomfortable and like, please stop.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sam has feelings.
Yeah. No. Can you imagine a man with feelings?
Not really. A little warm. Yeah.
Who is that?
Oh, man. Well, let's take a short break, guys. And we have a guest coming in at 10. His name is Eddie Connor, and he's got a show, Eddie and Friends, on our station. And he's amazingly funny. And he's gay, too, so we can go into the gay side as well.
Awesome.
When he's here.
We can talk about hair.
Yeah. And makeup and stuff. No, but he totally, he doesn't look gay, you know, and he carries himself like, just like an ordinary man, you know, a straight man. Yeah.
As opposed to the unordinary gay people.
Exactly.
All those gays.
No, we're talking about the feminine
gays.
All
the gays. You know?
The normal, the abnormal.
Yeah, exactly. We say everything that's politically incorrect here. What the fuck?
Kind of like, oh, I'm gonna pray for forgiveness. It's just an act.
All right, folks. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to LA Talk Radio Channel 1. To call in, dial 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815.
That mood. computer, on your Wi-Fi radio, on your iPhone. Commercial-free original talk. Only on LA Talk Radio. Your favorite talk station. Favorite talk
station. Okay, so maybe we'll leave sex for a while now.
Okay.
Okay.
Already. We'll be back within a minute.
We've filled an hour.
We can try.
Yeah, we can try. Did you guys watch the Emmys last night?
No.
No, neither did I.
I'm the worst actress ever. Like, I was at work last night in the restaurant, and I was like, why is this place so dead? Uh-huh. They're like, the Emmys are on. I'm like, oh, shit.
Should have stayed
home.
I mean,
yeah, I'm taping it.
Yeah. Do you tape it?
I mean, I would have for their dresses. I really like to see really good speeches, though, too. Like, I get really inspired, you know.
Oh, you do?
I mean, I still picture me, you know, accepting mine.
You should.
Although
you
now I'd be accepting porn star awards before. Oh, no.
You got to visualize it, though. You know, I mean, first, before you get there and stuff.
Right. No, I have since I was a little girl. I had the speech ready and everything.
Really?
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's still ready, huh? So it's in the stars.
Changing
for you,
a little
I'm
bit.
Sure.
Actually, just
I'd like to thank Voodoo for being my biggest fan
in every way, shape, and form. I actually, my gynecologist said, wouldn't you accept whatever award you're going to accept, just make sure that you thank your gynecologist. And
I see.
And he had no idea. I had not done a movie at that point, so I definitely will now. So I'm actually looking forward to the AVN Awards.
And you
up.
Like your gynecologist, so it's a good
yeah.
reason to thank him.
Yeah. Do you go to the AVN Awards?
Well, this will be my first year.
Oh, really?
Well, this will be my first, you know, it's my first film, so.
Are they going to, are you
can
nominated?
Can I be your date?
Or not yet?
Yeah, totally. They haven't done the nominations, but I really hope I get nominated.
Well, you got to promote it, right?
Well, yeah, but yeah. I think I might get pissed if I don't get nominated.
She's going postal, she's going with a shotgun.
Because
yeah.
Someone emailed me the other day to tell me when they were, and I'm like, holy crap, I got to get prepared. I got to figure out what I'm going to wear and what I'm going to say. And then I'm like, what if they don't nominate me?
Yeah.
I well, wonder, do porn stars look at dresses? I mean, do they look at what you're wearing?
I don't know. Well, I've been watching the awards for a couple of years, mm-hmm. and those girls cannot wait to get their dresses
the clothes on.
Oh. When they're up on stage, I'm like, guys, you do this for a living. Can we just stay dressed for the night?
Wow.
You've got
yeah.
a gorgeous dress on. Let's just keep it on for a while. Yeah.
We all know what you look like.
You have great boobs. All right. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
We'll see.
So, yeah, maybe if they have a category for a former Miss USA that started fucking on film.
Someone that's gone from mainstream to porn. Yeah.
Yeah. You definitely wore
it's
that
pretty
one.
Pretty much me. Okay.
Okay. This award goes to Miss Wrong Direction.
So you were on the soap for 7 years, though, right?
Yeah, I was on Passions on
That's
NBC.
That's a long time. Mm-hmm. You had short hair at the time, right?
Or I started out long like this, time, and right. then I went super short. I wasn't on the show for a little bit, and then I was like, I got to make a big change. And so I just went in and chopped it.
Right.
I think that's why I saw a magazine cover in one of your pictures. I was okay, that's from
but
that.
But what about the producers? Are they okay with that? I mean, do they allow you to change your hairstyle?
Normally, if you're under contract, no.
Right.
I mean, they... But I wasn't under contract at the time. So when they were going to bring my character back, I walked back in for a fitting, and I went up to see the producers in the booth, and they were like, she chopped her hair. And then they immediately called hair, and they're like, get her a wig. And I'm like, I am not fucking wearing a wig.
Yeah.
I'm not going to look like a ridiculous with a wig. So anyway, I talked them into it.
Yeah.
And then I kept it short for quite a few years.
Because wow, I thought by contract cool. you weren't allowed to change it. I thought you had to like get permission and all that.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, there's so... But even if you want to trim your hair, it's like you need to get permission and
yeah,
stuff.
They
but,
own
yeah.
your ass when you're under contract.
They do,
huh?
Which is okay. I mean, you're getting paid.
Yeah,
so
that's
whatever.
True. That's true.
Were you really... Was that like your first mainstream gig?
I've been...
That's pretty big. I mean...
That was my first contract role because I'd done lots of guest stars and stuff, but that was my first, you know... job that I could wake up every day and go, oh, I actually am employed as an actress. Yay.
A working out, yeah. Where you're like, I made it.
It was, I mean, that's it for me, it was life changing, you know, because you work as an actress, as you know, you just keep going out there and going out there.
She's still trying to figure it out.
Well, I'm telling you, I'm doing the best character research. I'm going to be the best waitress in a movie, I swear. 16 years, still working on it.
Actually, I can introduce you to some people if you're, you know, interested in doing some other work. Busboy meets...
Meet waitress.
Waitress and doing other work.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, we'll talk.
Okay. I'm just saying, never say never.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, it's like you're banging your head against a wall for years and just going out on audition after audition and getting, you know, shut down, and then to finally get that call and be like, yeah, we actually like you. But this role that I got, I was only supposed to do 5 episodes, and then they just kept bringing me back.
It's awesome.
Turned
nice
into 7 years.
Huh? Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
And it's rare in the city to be employed for that long with an acting gig.
That's
you know?
True.
It is. That's the great thing with soaps. Mm. You know, you can be on there
it goes
like
on
your
forever.
Entire career.
Yeah.
You could be on a soap.
And some people have been, yeah.
I mean, oh, yeah. I've been watching General Hospital for like 30 years and
really?
The same characters
same
on
people,
there. Yeah,
huh?
Absolutely.
Wow.
And those are hardcore fans. I mean, the viewership, because they're used to seeing you in their house 5 days a week.
Yeah.
They, you know, they show up. You want to talk about hardcore fans at fan events. They show up and they'll talk to you as if they've known you for years.
Yeah.
Or I'll be like at the mall and I'll hear, hey, Kelly. And I turn around and I'm like, hey. And you think that it's somebody that you're supposed to know from the dog park or, you know, you met at a party, and sure enough, they're like, how's it going? I'm like, good, how are you? Oh, good. And they start telling you about their personal life.
Right.
And I'm sitting there like going, who is this? How do I know this person? How? But she obviously knows me or he knows me. And then finally they'll get into it and be like, you know, I just, you know, that day when you were making out with the orangutan and you, and I'm like, oh, shit. It's a
they
fan.
Really feel it's you, yeah.
Yeah,
really
and then it sort of like turns, and then you're like, how do I get out of the store and to my car without them following me?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They do follow you.
Really?
Yeah, they do. So, you
but imagine
careful.
Mostly women though, right? That watch soaps. No,
not her fans.
it's a lot of women, but it's also a lot of guys. But the guys tend to live still with their moms.
Oh, really?
Oh,
that
okay.
kind of guys,
is
yeah.
that kind of guy.
Yeah.
And they like to send pictures of
that's true, guys
themselves.
That I've talked to about soap operas. That's so true. Guys that I've talked to, they live with their mother.
Yeah.
They really do.
They really do.
They really do, because they're like, oh, yeah, I watch them. Like, you watch soaps? They're like, well, my mom does. I'm like, okay.
Yeah,
which is code for we
right,
do.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, but those type of guys, they like to send pictures of themselves
right.
and also write, I guess they have a lot of time on their hands, write very long letters in depth and detail of what they do day to day.
Really?
And this one guy used to send me letters telling me about his Christmas present. So he clearly lived still with his mom. I think he was like maybe 55 or something like that. And he would go into very specific details. He got a package of like Fruit of the Loom underwear, a 3-packer.
Oh, he's lonely. He wanted a pen pal.
I mean, I'm talking like 8 pages of just...
Really lonely.
Did they ever send you pictures of their cocks and stuff? Because I know some
you
guys
just broke
think,
the sex, no sex talk.
I know some guys are like, that's what they think, like, women like it. I don't know, but you probably do.
He was pointing at Callie, not me.
He was talking to Sherry.
Okay, I have gotten some cock shots. I have, but I actually don't really like seeing them.
Yeah.
No.
I don't think
it doesn't do anything. I'd much rather see a man dressed.
Yeah.
Thank you. I really
men
do.
Are different. I mean, men can fall in love with body parts. You know, really.
Right.
I mean, when you think
I have
of
men asking me, like, said, yeah,
stuff.
Like to send pictures of, like, you know,
your toes or something.
Yeah.
No, they're like, really, my spots, you know.
Really?
No, they ask, and I'm like, what, how can you just, like, don't you want to see a whole thing attached to it? And they're like, no, puss is fine. I'm like, that's gross.
Look at that. Yeah.
You know? Whereas I don't want to see that at all in a man. Like, I'd much rather see the whole thing.
Me
right.
too.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, women are into the whole package and stuff. You
Absolutely.
Know? Yeah, no pun intended, but.
Or if you're Asian, you're into the small package.
Keep it nice and tidy. No, I like to look at a guy's eyes and really just, you know, focus in and get to know him. But
right. Well, you know.
I mean, at least if you're going to send a cock picture, have a big smile.
Yeah.
I love smiles. He's like, I've got my dick in my hand.
Which you said you like.
Yes, I
you
do.
Like the hand
good
around.
Good memory.
Wrapped around the cock.
I do.
You see, so now if someone sent you a picture like that, would you like it?
They'd have to have a great smile.
I see, okay. So no close-ups.
Or at least if I've been with them already before, you know. But I talk to people, you know, where I'm just getting to know them, and suddenly I'm getting like a dick picture. I'm like, no.
Yeah, what do you want me to do with this?
No.
Women don't fall in love with guys based on their dicks.
No, right? Not at all. Yeah. Or at least not me.
Yeah.
No, but
Kelly?
It's like...
Yeah, Kelly's not so sure.
Mm. Hello. Now, on Facebook, that they're I'm not getting pictures, but they're telling me their size.
Yeah.
And, you know, they'll just be like, hey, hope you're having a good day. I have a very large penis. Or, you know, I have a lot of, like, out-of-the-country guys talking about they go, penis, my large penis, and it's big as voodoo. And I'm like, okay, cool.
Have a beautiful day.
Good
God bless
luck
you.
With that.
Yeah. Yeah. There are a dime a dozen in L.A.
Yawn.
Like, can we talk about something else, please?
Yeah, so back to the Emmys, though.
This is going to be a one-trick pony show.
Let's see, none of us
well,
watched
trying,
the Emmys.
We're trying, yeah. Okay. But no, I'm not into TV. I mean, do you watch soaps, right?
Yeah, reality TV.
And reality TV, yeah.
Right, I'm That's overloaded true. With TiVo right now from like 4 days of not watching TV. Like, you look at my TiVo and it's like, Oprah, Project Runway, America's Next Top Model, Road Rules, Real World. It's like, wow, she has no brains.
Do you watch House Husbands of Hollywood?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I'm like, last night I went through and I was recording. I'm so excited to go home tonight.
Yeah, no. My friend was just in town from New York visiting, and we were driving to Malibu. We were driving to Malibu, and I knew that there was a winery up on that way because I saw it on Housewives.
Oh, yeah, Rosenthal.
And I was like, I'm going to take us there. And he was like, have you been there? And I'm like, no, I saw it on this reality show.
The Cosby Girl was there.
Yes, exactly. What's her face? Warner.
I drove by there the other day, and I told my friend the same thing. I'm like, you got to take me there. And he's like, how did you know? I'm like, I watched Housewives of Hollywood.
See,
goes,
it really can help your life, reality.
Yeah.
Shows.
It looked fantastic, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I know. It looked awesome. I didn't go, though.
Reality shows. But those don't win any Emmys, obviously, right?
No, they do.
Oh.
They do?
They do. Like, the host of the reality shows, like Jeff
Probst from Survivor just won.
He won.
Oh, really?
And then I think...
I looked at the list
what,
this morning
like
of winners.
Lifetime Achievement or something?
Yeah.
He's actually
from Kansas.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's from Wichita.
Was he on the football team?
Damn.
Okay, well, this is how sad my life is. Last night in the restaurant, the hostess says, do you watch The Bachelor? And I'm like, duh. And she was like, the host is at table 23. And I was like, really? I got all excited.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, he was there. And it was very funny because he's sitting there texting away, and the woman that he was with were texting away. They were each doing their own thing, not having a conversation at all. I'm like, they're so Hollywood.
Yeah.
But I got excited for, like, The Bachelor host. I mean, it's not like I was
What's
talking about, like,
Chris
Dustin Hoffman.
Or
I don't even remember.
I think his name's Chris. I shouldn't even know that.
But
either.
I just wanted
but
to,
yeah.
Like, I'll be the bachelorette.
Yeah, I shouldn't know that, but
you
I
could
do.
You should do that.
I kind of did, but you, well, not on that show, on a different reality show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, I could totally see you do that.
Yeah.
No, I tried.
So now, I mean, now that it's over, can you talk about it?
The
reality show?
Yes, kind of, sure, a little bit. I mean, I did it. It was on... I'm going to wait another day to talk
about
this.
Okay, all right, that's fine.
Because I did this contract, I'm telling you, and there's so many things that I don't...
Yeah, you
know,
got
that I can and cannot
you
speak
gotta be
about,
careful
you know
about
what
that.
I mean? Right.
You totally changed your life because of the show now. You can't do anything or say anything, it seems, right?
I signed a contract with the network, and anything that I want to do creatively now, I actually have to get permission from them to do.
Not after the show's over, though.
For a year. Uh-huh.
Wow.
Really? Yeah. So I haven't exactly run this.
Can you pose nude?
I didn't ask that. I wasn't really interested in doing that. I mean, they
could
said...
Could you look into that? Because after this show's out, trust me, you're going to get offers.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
She like
I
looks at herself,
my body,
really?
Like, I'd pay me to keep my clothes on. No,
you have lesbians masturbating over your girlfriend. Get ready.
Yeah, but we have not seen pictures of them. It doesn't mean they're lipstick lesbians. Sorry, Tommy. I'm not saying that you're
right,
not
right,
chasing
right.
women.
All right.
So back to the Emmys.
Back to the Emmys.
Well, I see Eddie's here, so let's take a short break. We'll bring him in, and we'll be back right after this.
For the most entertaining talk anywhere, stay tuned to LA Talk Radio. Your real talk station. Your real 24 talk hours of commercial-free programming.
Thank you. name is Rachel, and my telephone number is... I wanted to tell you that you're evil, horrible people. You're awful people. You represent horrible ideas. God hates you, and he wants to kill your children. You should all burn in hell. Bye.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Okay, and we've got a full house here. Eddie just joined us. Eddie Connor. Good morning to you, my friend.
Good morning. How are you doing? What's going on? What's happening? What you wearing?
What am I wearing? You can see for yourself.
Is that kind of show?
Or what aren't you wearing is a better question, if it's kind of show.
So let me introduce Eddie. Eddie has been with the station for about a year and a half, you just reminded me.
Yeah.
And he's got a show on Monday nights called High Frequency Living. And as you can see, or tell from the show, from the title, rather, Eddie is a pretty spiritual person.
Yeah, I'm real spiritual.
Well, you need another shot of coffee here.
He's not wearing any beads. That's the sign in LA. If you're spiritual, you wear beads.
But that you can see.
I was going to say, I see the bright yellow aura around
you.
Oh,
yeah.
Ooh, I like yellow.
Yeah?
It looks good on you.
Yeah.
It looks good on you. I saw it when you walked in.
Ooh, no, you didn't.
Oh, yeah, I did.
So what does yellow aura stand for? Is that good?
To me, it's just like this peaceful thing around them. You know, just like a very...
Eddie's
like,
very peaceful, yeah. I mean, sometimes I envy your calmness.
Really?
Yeah, I do. Because I'm very, like, uptight, in case you haven't noticed.
Fuck this. I hate the damn sound. It's hot in here. It's loud. I hate women. I cry too much. I hate my wife. What? Oh, sorry.
See, she already got the old figured out.
Yeah. Sorry, day. I was, like, taken over by Sam. And
channeling.
Totally.
You're like Whoopi Goldberg at LA Talk Radio. Yeah.
Exactly.
So, Eddie, what is high frequency? What does that mean?
It's a great question. High frequency, I believe that everybody emanates a frequency or energy or an aura, whatever you want to call it. There's the woo-woo part, which I love, and then there's the scientific part, which I also love. And every thought we think causes us to emanate a frequency.
Mm.
And when you harmonize your thought with a feeling, the frequency either gets higher, which is opulent, pure, abundant, rich, and happy, or it gets lower, which is poverty, negative, and more negativity.
I see.
So there's two frequencies we emanate. One is high, fast, and pure. One is low and negative and poverty.
I see. Okay. So we're obviously trying to achieve high frequency here.
Yes.
Right.
You mean this morning or just
in general? In general.
No pressure. High frequency.
Think good thoughts.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about the show. What do you guys talk about?
Oh, good Lord. We talk about just about everything. We have Victor Benown, who's the businessman, very left brain, very cerebral. And our good friend Brian, the comedian, left. He's gone out on the road. He's doing his stand-up comedy work as of like a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, nice. Good for him.
I know. Very, very happy for him. And Melanie's the actress / professional dancer / actress.
Mm-hmm.
She does everything. So she comes from that creative side. And then I'm your... butt doctor, for lack of a better word.
The butt doctor. Okay, explain that.
The buttologist.
Yeah. Eddie loves to do like play with words and stuff, and I love the stuff you come up with, you know? So you have one book that's called what?
Kicking the Big Butt Syndrome.
Okay. And that's his butt with one T, obviously.
Yeah, one T.
Yeah.
Of course, some of us have butts about our butts.
Right. That's true. So, yeah, I mean, we have a lot of butts in our lives, really.
Yes.
But what do you mean?
But let Good me job. Tell you.
But of course.
My turn, I feel pressure. I mean,
but mine is all over here now.
I already think enough about my butt. I'm good.
Yeah. Don't want to talk too much about butts. But, yeah, but you see.
Well, I'll stand on our hands and finish the show. But nothing.
So describe the book a little bit. What is it about?
The butt. The Butt book is about how we innocently, accidentally contradict ourselves. I call it asphalt disease because it's your ass and it's your fault.
Oh, wow. You see? He's good. Yeah.
Well, it's an acronym. Ass is an acronym for when we accidentally self-sabotage. Of course, we would never do it on purpose, nor would we use butt consistently if we knew what it did. And what the word butt does is it nullifies our desires. It cancels out whatever our dreams and aspirations are, and it amplifies whatever follows the word but. So if you say, I want a relationship, but men are jerks, it cancels out your desire for a relationship and it amplifies the belief that men are jerks.
That's true. It almost like negates what you just said, right?
Yes. Kelly, it's true. Kelly and I were just having a conversation on break and I was just talking about, you know, about going all mainstream, but I'm concerned about some of the things that I say, you know what I mean? Like on air. So, and it's just, instead of just accepting, you know, where what you want to do and just be okay with it, you're constantly like having those other butts in your head and all the voices and everything going on there, like
but
you
I
know,
told
sabotaging.
Her, I told her, you know, if she's doing what she feels is the right thing for her,
right?
Don't think about the rest of it. The rest will come, and she's going to be in the right place for where she needs to be. I don't know. I'm a big believer in the frequency thing and you know, following the secret and
me too, manifesting all that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So and it's funny. It's like I find myself really trying to stay away from people as soon as I get like that. That sort of
instinct,
and you're just like, oh, you know, and all they talk about is what's wrong, what's wrong, and these people always have something wrong.
Mm-hmm. They do.
If it's your car breaking down, and you know, and then it just continues, and it just, you know. It's just a
pattern. Follows them. It just follows like like I'll post some, you know, positive things like, you know, on Facebook and I always have the same set of friends that will always make some negative joke about it or whatever and the other people that just get it. And it's always those people that are posting the negative stuff that are constantly having issues in their life, you know. And I said, I always tell them, my world's not any different than yours. We're living in the same world. I choose to see the beauty in it and you choose to see all the bad things going on.
Well, right. And there's a technical term and a clinical term for people like that. It's very sad.
Yeah, what's the term?
Losers.
We're waiting for it.
It's called,
they have what we call the whining
fucking losers.
Yeah. That's the other technical term.
FL.
Very scientific.
Yeah. We say that they have the whiny, bitchy, sucky, moany syndrome. Because they do. They're like magnets to the negative abyss because they're always butt-tradicting themselves all over the place.
Butt-tradicting, I like it.
It's ugly.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's true, yeah. I'm good at doing that, of sucking all the positive energy out of you.
At the end of the show, we'll be three skeletons here. And we'll be like, I feel so good.
That's why he brings his camera every
show. Before and after.
No one will know what we look like.
Before we're all pretty, and after we look like Tails the
Crew. The grumpy Sam that walks in the door.
Yeah. I know. When I first met my wife, she was like, all like positive and optimistic. All the time.
What's
and I'm like, what the fuck are you so happy about?
I got me a man. I'm going to fix him.
Good
That's
job,
exactly
Sam.
What they want to do.
I actually just spent, you know, a few days with a friend of mine.
The dude.
And he's a New Yorker. So, you know, New Yorkers, they complain and they whine about everything, you know.
Right.
And all his status updates. It's funny how everything's related to like Facebook. All his status updates.
I just
updates,
told you. I said our whole life was going to...
Yeah. All his status updates is about, oh, the weather sucks or this or that. Well, we just spent like 4 days together, and his status update this morning is, hello, world. I can't wait to see what goodness is happening today. And I was like, oh, my God.
It rubbed
like,
off.
It
yeah.
totally did. I was so excited. And all his friends were like, where is this optimism coming from? And I was like, yes, you know.
Fantastic.
I know. I was actually really blown away by that.
Check in tomorrow. Usually takes about a day for the optimism to wear off after 4 days of high-frequency people.
Okay.
Because what most low-frequency people do is they suck the life out of high-frequency people.
Right.
And it sounds a little bit like a butt-tradiction, and it really isn't, in that if you're a high-frequency person, as you're thinking high thoughts and feelings and emotions, you're going to pull high-frequency people to you, or people of like mind, not lie minds.
Right.
And long story short, what ends up happening is as soon as we dip as high-frequency people, our thoughts dip, our feelings dip, our emotions dip, and then the whiny, bitchy, sucky, moany people come out of the woodwork and glob onto you like little light whores and energy vampires.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. He can make a movie out of this.
I want to do these reenactments.
Yeah.
We're actually going to start filming The Butt Secret next month.
The Butt Secret? Really?
Yeah. You know, it's like The Secret and The Law of Attraction. Uh-huh. This is called The Butt Secret and The Low of Attraction.
The Low of Attraction.
Wow.
Wow.
You really do have a play on words. I like
it. Yeah. He's good.
Mm-hmm. Makes me feel dirty.
Yeah.
Waking up just does that to me.
Look at me.
So you're an intuitive as well, right? I mean, you don't like to call it psychic and stuff. You're more like into intuitive and stuff. Do you have any intuition on whether I'm going to bed them anytime soon? Or is this just like a...
Hold on. Let me call Dina 911.
I can give you that answer.
Oh, I just thought, no!
I want it from someone who knows.
Yeah, we'll talk about that after, at the break.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, do you find that it works? I mean, are you able to like predict things and stuff?
Oh, yeah. I think everybody is psychic. I really, really do. Everybody has a soul. And my clients started calling me a soul intuitive,
mm-hmm.
which at first I was like, that sounds so, like, bigger than me.
Mm.
And then I realized everyone's intuitive. Everyone has a soul. And the more we follow what our soul is wanting us to do, the higher frequency of a life we get to live. And the more good you feel, the more calm. I'll use Caesar Milan vernacular, calm and assertive. You have to be the pack leader of your own life and calm and assertive. And the more calm and assertive we are, the more locked in to our soul's intuition and what it's telling us, then we get to help other people too.
Mm.
Whether it's getting bedded or, you know, creating, living the life you want.
But no, when you say the calm and assertive, like I take that solely as just being at peace and, you know, and just being open, like hearing and silent and listening to the signs. And I really feel like the most peaceful times in my life is when I just connect myself and I allow and I'm open to everything that happens in my life,
right.
And know that everything that's there is supposed to be there, you know,
mm-hmm.
and you just watch things like slowly, you know, evolve and unfold, and you just know that you're on the right path, you know. It's when you don't listen to that inner voice.
And can I say something psychic?
Sure.
You've been through like two overall in your whole life, two real serious knocks, like really knocks that at least one of them, if not both of them, you didn't know if you were going to come out from under it or not.
Right.
And you did. And I think your old pattern, most of ours is, your old pattern, but you're stubborn and hard-headed at the same time, and you have to get it at least three times before you figure it out. And then you'll own it, and you take continued responsibility for it. Thank you. They're saying that it's not that you never took responsibility. You did, almost to a fault, and you were kind of loyal to a fault at the same time. And now they're saying, as a result of those hard knocks that you felt the universe pushed you into, you came out, and it took you a while. And now you really did transform. You really have changed your perception, which is all transformation is, changing your perception.
Mm-hmm.
And you are now choosing more consistently than ever, they're saying, to look at the part of your life that's working, because you innately now know that that's what you're going to get more of. And you also have a really pleasant, lovely, and I mean this sincerely, fuck you attitude.
Yeah.
You do. And mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. it's admirable. And it takes a lot of us a long time to get to that point. A lot of us will say, I don't care what people think. We really do. Most of us really do. And you're about 5% in it where you do, and 95% where you really, really don't. And that's called freedom.
Awesome. That's funny because I was just talking about that. This is not a lie, like a week ago, because I always was a people pleaser. And always. And I've gotten to the place where, sure, you want people to like you. But at the end of the day, like, I feel like if you really are true to yourself, and the truth of me is really genuinely liking people and being kind to people. And if ultimately you don't like that, or you don't find that, it really is like a fuck you, like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? But in the nicest way, like, I don't judge you for it. It's like, go about your business. I'm going to go about mine, you know?
But right. That's really great, especially because you are in the entertainment world, and actresses in general, actors are super insecure, and it's mm-hmm. always about, let me prove to you how good I am, and I'll define myself when I get my next
right.
job or whatever. But to be able to have that, you know, like, this is who I am, so take it or leave it. I think it's fantastic.
When you go mm-hmm. through, you talked about major things in your life that have gone. When you've gone through a lot of things in your life and you realize that you can keep trying to obtain, and then there's always still issues, you know, when you can just like let go of all of that and just be okay, like ultimately everything, you know, will be. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like you don't constantly have to have and give. And I think that I've had so many down times, you know, in your life that you actually realize what truly is important, you know, and it is your perception of the world mm-hmm. and everything. Because you can be that person that constantly feels like they don't have enough, you know, and you never will. Or you can just be like, everything is good. You know what I mean? I have my friends, I have my family, I have love around me. You know, I occasionally have some really good porn.
Very high means. Frequency there.
I don't know what that means, you know.
There's high frequency right. there. If you observe it properly.
Oh, we observe it properly.
Work at
it. We observe it several times
red.
A day.
Sorry, oh, I knew my face would get red.
So you're saying really, I mean, that we can determine our own destiny pretty much if we just adjust our thinking and, you know, I mean, I can understand that, you know, and I've become a little spiritual in my life and stuff at a certain point. And yeah, I realized that it's like the body and the soul constantly are struggling against each other, you know. It's like the body wants to receive all the time. It's like everything that the body wants it now, you know, when you're hungry, when you have to go to the bathroom, whatever, you know, you have to badly have sex or something, you know. And the soul is like wants to give, you know, and so you constantly have that struggle of like, give me, or like I want to give, you know. So, you know, whatever.
This is
like,
whatever, I still hate life.
They're all looking at me like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I think you're exactly right. It's like notes from the universe with Sam.
I read notes from the universe.
Yeah, I love that.
De Leon.
Yeah, Dooley. Is it Mike Dooley? I think it is De Leon.
No, it's Ralph Marston.
Oh, sorry. Notes from the universe. I'm thinking of Mike Dooley, I think.
Oh, okay.
I'm so confused. I'm psychic. I should have known that. Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think the soul and the universe are in perfect harmony with each other, and I think the soul is 99.99% of who and what we are, and our human shell, our body, our brain, not our mind, our actual physical brain is only 0.01% of what creates our reality. Mm. And I think when we desire something, the soul immediately goes to work to bring it, and the universe in harmony with that is complete unconditional love mm-hmm. and is saying yes to what your desire is. Mm. The human brain, the ego part of us, as you were talking about, Sam, is always trying to figure out how the F to make it happen.
Right.
And we can usually, as humans, come up with one or two, and if we're really resourceful, three different ways to make our desires come to us. And then if it doesn't come that quick, like you said, instant gratification, then we just usually cut it loose and then go back to work doing whatever job it is that we hate doing.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Wow, I've been reading about all of this. Everything you're talking about is like,
really? It changes your life.
Absolutely,
it really does. The great thing, you know, what I notice about people is that we all know what we don't want, but we expect to get what we want, but we don't know what that is at the end of the day. Mm. People have to be very specific. So. Mm.
Yeah.
If you
high fives.
Yeah, high five. The universe is willing to give you what you want, but we spend so much time and energy going, God, I just hate mm-hmm. my job. I don't want that car. I don't. Okay, so we know what you don't want. We get it. So let's put a vision board together and let's be very specific. Everyone should have a vision board. When they wake up in the morning, that's the first thing you should see. When you go to bed at night, that's the last thing
Well, they also say the more you repel things is the more you attract them. So, I mean, you're constantly thinking about what you don't want. You're going to keep bringing it. Like that banging construction. Sam, you keep thinking about it. It's going to keep happening.
I know. Is that what that jerk in energy is?
Jerk and energy?
Yeah, well, not you. Oh. No, it's like we'll be talking and everything's like this, and then all of a sudden something will go, boom.
Yeah.
Are they doing construction?
They're doing construction next door, and they're walking like there's a fucking elephant there, you know? It's shaking the whole building.
Just send them love. Hello. Send them love.
Light and love.
Yes, here he goes. Here he goes already.
Oh, exactly.
Or let's compromise, Sam. We'll send them sledgehammers of white light. Yeah. Chainsaws of pure love.
But, you know, when you're talking about, when you're talking about your souls and stuff and what we genuinely and truly desire, I find it really funny, that when say, for example, celebrities. Like, I worked in Brentwood in a restaurant for a really long time, and I would get celebrities and a lot of wealthy people and things that people think that they ultimately want, and they were just, they were always unhappy and never talking to each other and complaining about everything. And it's funny when you find that when people finally realize what's important and it's taking care of one another and giving back, why do you think celebrities a lot of times have all these movies and all these things, and then the next thing you know, they talk about their life that they found themselves when they were doing charity work and giving to others and realizing that it is about loving one another, and those are, that is our true souls, you know what I mean, and our true heart's desire.
Yeah, I think a lot
of... Man, they're fucking up my show, these people, man. Do you believe this? I mean, you know...
Like, maybe we can start a rap or something.
No, but here,
somebody's got to voice the frustration, you know, if you guys are not going to do it.
Well, because it's perception, because the three of us are having this conversation and connecting and not even hearing it, and you're like,
well, you know.
See, we're living in the same universe, but we all have different visions.
Exactly.
Yours is the negative one. We're going to change that.
Shift in perception, not shit in perception.
That's hilarious.
Okay, I mean, how am I supposed to look at it in a positive way? That they're ruining my show.
Here's a great way. Yeah. By not looking at it.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, you want me to ignore it, but I mean, they're rocking the whole place, and the microphones are, you know.
What, can I say psychically why you do that? Seriously?
Right. Yeah.
You want everybody to win. Mm. You want everybody to have a good experience. In your opinion, and you're right, ladies, back me up on this, is your opinion is, I'm responsible for a great show. Mm-hmm. They're disrupting my show. Right. They're disrupting the co-host. They're disrupting the guest. The quality that's going out there does not have the stamp of approval on it, the SAM of approval on it.
Right.
And it's really getting under your skin. Right. And there's a little piece of you that has no control over it to a certain degree.
Right.
And
it's the need to control the situation. Absolutely. I mean, I'm not going to argue with that. You have it absolutely right, you know. And, yeah, I mean, you know, I try to do things about it, but, I mean, I'm a lot better than I used to be, if you can imagine.
Well, and I think it's admirable that you want to take care of us and then kill them.
Yeah, I do want to kill them, yeah. You also have to understand, it's been going on for 2 weeks now, you know, and they've been making a lot of noise, but today, they're like... The whole building
like
is shaking.
But think about
it
really this, though. Is. What is you stressing out about it and freaking out? How is it going to change? It's going to continue.
You're right.
You know what I mean? Like,
you're
it's
right.
not going to change it at all. So you're join right. us over here.
Yeah. Ooh,
come,
yeah, and
come into the light.
Join our bubble, because we don't hear it.
Yeah, that's why you give me all these looks. Like, what was that?
I know. I'm over here going...
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was like your cock hitting the table.
I thought it was the gate thing downstairs making the building move. I've never been here during the day with clothes on. Just at night.
Eddie, so where are you originally from? You're from the South, right?
Yeah, it's obvious, ain't it?
No.
Ain't it?
Yeah.
I'm going to go out to the outhouse.
Where, in Kansas?
No, he's further.
How dare you?
Yeah, no. I'm from Kansas. How dare you?
I know.
No, were you poor white
trash?
That's
why I brought it up.
I was poor white trash. North Carolina.
North Carolina,
yeah, that's
okay.
That's poor whiter trash.
You can't get whiter than us in North Carolina.
Really?
Yeah. So I grew up in North Carolina, and with the outhouse and no running water. And
I was joking.
And we Then we graduated up to the projects.
The projects.
And then we graduated up to a single-wide trailer.
Really?
Yeah, it was a lateral move. I thought we were moving up like George and Wheezy. Right. It really was a lateral move. So, yeah.
But you kept thinking you were moving up, though. It was all,
yeah.
Became civilized.
In seventh grade, double wide.
I went.
Oh, you went double wide.
Oh, you know we did.
Hells yeah.
Awesome.
So at what point did you decide I'm getting out of here and I'm moving forward or moving up?
It's interesting. I've always known since I was a little kid that I was going to live somewhere where there was more than white people. and being a white people myself, I am not prejudiced against them. Wouldn't that be awful? I don't like white people. I am white. I'm really a black woman trapped in a white man's body, and that's the truth. And I have always identified with other cultures more than my own.
Really?
Yeah, because we had Klansmen in our family.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like you're like, you know, you're spreading love across the holidays and they're doing church burnings. And
yeah.
Like one more good reason not to go to church.
Yeah. What a perfect alignment there, right?
It created the desire to want to do what I do for a living now and to be around other people and other mindsets and other perspectives and belief systems.
Right. Well, you had two choices. You're either going to burn with them, you know, churches, or go off, you know, in the other direction.
That's exactly. Right. And yeah, that really is the choice.
Right.
And so I wanted something more. So I was always, and I think all of us can identify with this, I was always pretending to be something I wasn't so that I wouldn't be burned metaphorically, well, hell, physically. And at the same time, I was still living like a double life inside myself.
Yeah.
I was talking to dead people and seeing angels and, you know, I'm a flaming homosexual, as it were. And
what? It's,
yeah, and all of that stuff. Yeah, I'm just like, what?
He's not flaming.
I'm joking.
You're not flaming
at all. The yellow and pink aura. And you're like, what?
And don't forget the flames coming out of your ass. I followed you.
Out the front.
I think that could be a country song, like living double lives in a double
wide.
Wide.
With pink and orange. There,
it is. It's called And It Burns. Burns, burn. No.
Okay. Just thought that was my crabs.
Yeah, like a ring of fire. Oh, Lord, no. Vision board.
Yeah. Right.
Visualize a triple wide.
So now, I would imagine in that kind of environment, it was probably difficult for you to grow up gay as well, right? I mean, probably very conservative.
Yeah. It was way easier for me to come out actually as a gay person than it was a psychic person.
Really?
Yeah. Yet, I was sort of kind of forced out in the 11th grade. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't pretty, but it was necessary. But it was necessary. And then that the lightness that brought, because I hate lying. I'm not good at it. Mm-hmm. I'm terrible at it. And my mom, who was psychic, and her mother, who was psychic, could always sense the discrepancy in energy, for lack of a better way to say it. And so as soon as that was lifted off of me, I don't think I told her I was psychic for 10 more years.
Wow.
Because it was a double, triple negative.
Yeah.
What forced you to come out?
The desire to let mom know what was really going on with me, why I was sort of not on my game or happy anymore.
Mm-hmm. But you knew that enough that you could trust your mom in a sense to,
absolutely,
to come out. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've known since I slid out of the uterus.
All my gay friends say the same thing. It's just if and when they could.
And girl, let me tell you, in the South, it ain't like that. I knew people who did not come out till they were in their 60s.
Oh, wow.
But I mean, they themselves knew, but they didn't come out.
Oh, well, no. And yes, I agree. And some of them didn't really know. They pushed it that far down till they were in their 60s. Now, here's the funny thing about that. When you have four daughters and you make all of their wedding dresses... Mm-hmm. And your tuxedo and your wife's dress for your daughter's funeral.
And you're doing their hair.
Yeah, and you're a man.
And you decorate your whole house like 77 times. It looks like Graceland exploded in there. And you still don't know something's wrong.
Yeah.
That's called North Carolina suppression.
No, my best friend came out 3 years ago and he did not admit it to anyone, including himself. But I was like, you have RuPaul on your wall. You have Divine Cyndi Lauper. Like, it's obvious to the rest of us, you know, but it was just something that he didn't want to come to terms with for himself.
Well, it's terrifying. Mm-hmm. And it's human nature to hide something that the community or the clan is going to kill you for.
Right, yeah. You want to feel like you belong.
Of time.
Yeah.
But you would think after you came out that saying you were psychic would just be like a breeze. Oh, and by the way, I'm a psychic too.
Mm-mm. Wow. I only came out to my mom, and then there's a couple of friends at school. And that was it. And then I just never talked about it ever really again. I just assumed everybody knew.
Yeah. Mm. Wow.
Like y'all knew when I walked in the room.
Yeah. Well, I prepare them for it. We actually have a gay man coming in here.
Basically, he was telling us not to hit on you.
Girl.
Yeah. We've been talking about sex for an hour, and now we're getting shut down.
Yeah, like, don't get your hopes up.
We'll all not get our hopes up together.
So, do you have someone in your life now?
Just Rosie.
Rosie. Oh, I see your hand. I see.
How did she get the name Rosie?
Well, that's what they call it in the South, Rosie Palm and her five sisters.
Oh, okay. I just call it a good time.
Yeah. Well, my uncle used to call it Aunt Minnie. No, he used to call it Minnie and the five sisters, and I had an Aunt Minnie. So when he would say, I'm going to go have sex with Minnie, I was like, not Aunt Minnie. Well, she's about 70 years old, and he was like, 19.
Okay, yeah, that'd be kind
of
gross.
It was so scary. I thought it was just another part of the South I didn't know about.
Yeah. So have you had any long relationships recently?
Not recently. Not you know recently. What's weird? My craft is my relationship, Sam.
Yeah.
No, I really love what I do. I write every day. I'm always doing this and or doing intuitive readings or lecturing or speaking or doing fun stuff like this on the radio, talking about how the universe works and how you can create a better quality of life for yourself. And, not but, and I know I can feel something's coming. Someone's coming into the mix.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
I have a question. Do you, because I feel like everyone has psychic abilities.
Yes.
And I dream about things before they happen very often. But sometimes it's like strange. I get deja vus all the time. And sometimes I actually know what's about to happen, like where it's that clear. Like someone comes to my restaurant, I'm like, oh, and I've never seen them. Like I know what they're going to order. And I just know that whole experience. You know, I've done it as a child. And but a lot of times the important things, you know, like knowing what someone's going to order doesn't, who cares about that? But like the major events in my life, is there a way like to harness or like to be able to, you know, remember your dreams more so than when they actually do come true? Cause that's how I found out someone, my ex-fiance cheated on me, is that I dreamt about it.
Really?
Yeah.
Women always know. Let me repeat that for you. Women always know. They don't have to have proof. Women have what I didn't term this, good Lord, women's intuition. Mm-hmm. And they don't know how they know what they know. They just know that they know that they know it. Mm-hmm. And then if you say, where's the proof? They say, I don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of what that is. So if you were so busy in aspects of your daily life that you didn't get it, then your subconscious brought it to you in your dream state. So how do you harness that? Practice what I call two things. One is called ask better questions, because the typical question we ask ourselves is the traffic going to get any worse in this town?
Mm-hmm.
That's not a good question.
Yeah.
That's actually a low frequency question. It's a butt-predicted question. And they'll say things like, am I ever going to get ahead in this job, blah, blah, blah. Probably the wrong choice of word.
That's what Sam asks every morning. Yeah. When you get ahead of this job.
He's like, yay! And when we start asking ourselves better questions, like, how can I stay on top of this frequency? How can I be at the right place at the right time? How can I continue to feel better next minute than I do this very minute? As you start doing that, you'll start feeling your mind and your frequency and your feelings and your attitudes and your emotions start going through the roof. The second thing, which is my favorite thing to do, is called appreciating. Most of us don't like to ask. Hard worker, hard worker, hard worker, hard worker. And we were taught that if you want something, what do you do to get it?
Do it yourself.
You do it yourself. And you work hard. And if you ask for help, what happens?
You
look weak. And the person you ask, you usually end up going behind them and cleaning up their mess when they leave at 5 o'clock and you're stuck there till 9 p.m. fixing it.
Yeah. I'm thinking I should have done it myself.
There you go, girl. And so it's appreciating asking. Everything you can find to appreciate causes your frequency to go through the roof. Thank you. They're saying that whenever you're watching a sunset or dolphins or anything that makes you personally feel good, that in that moment, your soul, your universe, your consciousness merges with that thing. So it merges with the sunset. In that moment, the universe can't tell where you, the person, and your consciousness and the sunset begins or ends. It's all the same pure positive frequency that creates worlds. So when you're appreciating that thing for longer than 17 seconds, as Abraham Hicks would say, I knew you were going there, girl.
I love Abraham Hicks too.
And as you harmonize with that for longer than 17 seconds, the universe has a clear signal on what you want more of. And so as you're appreciating it, you're ultimately asking for it, and you're bypassing your left brain, which will mind frick you in a bad way instead of a good way. And then you're not trying to figure out how I'm going to get what I want. You're going to harmonize with what you want through other avenues, through appreciating asking and then asking better questions to facilitate it coming to you faster.
That's why when I go hiking and it's always like my most peaceful time, and I always, all the answers, everything becomes so clear. It's like I really feel that those moments that I'm one, you know, with the universe, and like, and I always have like the biggest revelations, and I'm up there and I'm like, that's what I'm going to do when I get it. And then I get down to reality and I'm like, oh, get away from me, driver. like life like actually happens, you know?
And do you know why that is when we go out in nature that we instantly we feel lifted up? Is because a tree has never worried about paying its mortgage. That's Abraham Hicks will say that. You know, the vegetation, the ocean is not trying to figure out what its property value is.
Right.
Yeah. It's just being highest frequency.
And there's no distraction when you're in nature and stuff. You know, you kind of, it's easy to become one with it, I think.
Oh, you would find a distraction.
Yeah. Fuck you.
There was this fucking rock doing here. So fucking hot. Why is a bird mowing?
Let's do that. Okay, let's pretend we're Sam walking through the Malibu Mountains. What is that, a cougar?
No, let's not.
Why is there a helicopter?
Did you bring the SPF 50?
Well, somebody's got to do it. We can't have all positive.
You can't have dark without the light.
Exactly. You know? that's funny. So you decided to move to LA. How old were you?
It was 15 years ago this Christmas.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, how old were you?
Well, I'm 48 now, so I think I was about 35.
So it was later in life. I mean,
oh,
it's
yeah.
Not, yeah. So you you grew up there. I mean, so you were not in a double wide the whole time, obviously, right?
Oh no. Ended up. I moved from Glenola. Yes, it's wow. Real.
Glenola.
Glenola.
That had a railroad track and two little general stores. One was an equestrian. I didn't even know what the word equestrian was to move here. And then we had 77 churches. And 500 people
Good
that live
Lord.
There. Oh, yeah, welcome to the South. Yeah. And then moved from Glenola to Durham, North Carolina, Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina. Lived 15 years there and realized that this is who I am while I was there. It's funny how that works, where you have to get away from everything you grew up with, what's
right.
familiar,
mm-hmm.
the family lies, and the community's lies. So I realized this is who I was, and this was the part of me that wanted to come out, mm-hmm. as it were, spiritually, metaphysically, psychically. And as soon as I started doing this work, the doors and the windows flew wide open. And the very minute after my best friend died in 1993, that I, because I helped him through his passing away, it was a 3.5-year transition.
Wow.
And as soon as he got across to the other side, all of the work that I had done on myself to help him get over to the other side instantly manifested in me working. I was working my 2.5 jobs, getting paid minimum wage at all of them, and then doing this on the side. And as soon as I did this the first time on radio, my entire life went from poverty consciousness to prosperity consciousness. Now, I'd gone from poverty consciousness internally to prosperity consciousness a few years before it manifested on the outside world. And then the second I started doing it and letting it in and allowing myself to be intuitive out in the world, that's when everything took off like crazy. So it went from 0 to 10 in North Carolina. And as a result of that, people from the Los Angeles area who would come back and forth would say, I want to put you on the radio in Los Angeles. And I'd never been anywhere. Ah. And so when we got to Los Angeles, September 1995, I'll never forget it. I'm standing at the intersection in Burbank, down the street from the Safari Motor Inn.
I know that place.
Girl.
Not like that.
It's orange shag carpet. It looks like the Brady Bunch puked in there. And with one bathroom. And then I walked down the street to the Talleyrand restaurant. Burbank, they had meatloaf, southern cooking.
All right.
So I'm standing on the corner there, the last day of the 10 days that I was here, September 1995, and I see this car pull up, a red convertible Mercedes, and I'm like, well, they're real pretty. They look like they should be movie stars. It was Warren Beatty and Annette Bening.
Wow. Mm.
Then I went in and had my turkey. And at the Talleyrand, two guys sat, Victor was one of them, and sat there and said, you have a choice. You can move back to North Carolina and you can dress mannequins. You can teach dance classes and you can do whatever else you're doing, working in a nightclub, dancing half naked in a cage. Or you can come to...
You were actually doing
that?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's another whole show right there.
I was just going to say that.
That's the kind of show I can get my head around.
Yeah. And, that was my life, man. I loved that. I loved all of that because I just did anything connected to music and that lifts the soul in music, guys. And he said, if you come back out here, I'll give you a radio show.
Really?
Yeah, on Star 98.7. I met Paula Abdul that week, and I was like, oh my God, and, which is what my best friend promised. He promised me three things before he passed away. He's like, girl, if you'll help me get off to the other side, I'll hook you up with Paula. And then he listed two other things, which I promised I would never talk about until it happened. Right. I have it written down, though, in a sealed envelope, because then I don't want to look like I'm fake. And Ryan Seacrest. And Ryan Seacrest, here's some dirt, y'all. First of all, his hair was out to here.
Oh, yeah, the 98.7 days?
Yeah, that was curling iron, flat iron, bleach.
He talks about that on radio, that he always uses a straight flat iron.
Yeah. Really?
Mm-hmm. Randy brought us in to Star 98.7 in the evening. He was showing us where we were going to be and where the show would be the next night. And Ryan was the DJ on air. And we came in at about 10 o'clock, and, you know, you're never supposed to leave your booth, ever. You can get fired for it.
Oh. Really?
So Randy and Barbara and I came around the corner, and we see this guy in bright yellow gym shorts and a T-shirt come out of the break room. He just sort of looks over his shoulder casually and sees that it's the frickin' program director and general manager. He literally screamed like a girl and ran down the hallway crashing into the walls and fell into the floor and then crawled into the DJ booth. And it was, and I was like, who's this kid? He's going to be somebody. And he's like, he's doing some little show. And this was in 95 before American Idol. So yeah, those were the days.
Wow. So how did you pick LA out of all places?
It picked me.
Really?
Yeah, honest to God, it picked me. I thought it was going to be like Raleigh, North Carolina when I got here.
Yeah.
I thought they would have about the same amount of people. Like John Boy walking into Big City.
But don't you feel like, I mean, there's really no other place for you to be with that, you know, high-fiving again?
Yeah. It's because we can't reach each other.
Yay. Spiritual high-five.
It's absolutely where I'm supposed to be. I think most people who come here, we really feel that way. We really, really believe it. I went straight home from that meeting, seeing Annette Bening and Warren Beatty. And I went straight home and got my act together. And before December 1st, I was coming across country to live. And that is not me. I have to schedule my spontaneity. I'm like very anal retentive and controlling, and literally came across country, dropped everything familiar, and came out here to do this.
Wow, that takes a lot of courage.
Well, especially since we didn't have a job when we got here.
Yeah.
Because Randy left the station, and we were just floating around trying to figure out what we were going to do when we grew up.
Yeah.
You know, I found something you said interesting that I think most people don't realize. You said you went from being, in your mindset, from poverty
to prosperity.
To prosperity before you even had it. And it's funny because then you ended up manifesting that, but again, it's all about perception. And people always say, why, how are you supposed to, you know, act a certain way like Sam? Like, how are you supposed to be peaceful when there's something banging, you know, on the wall? But didn't your whole life change when you just decided to make that little mind flip, you know, even though you didn't have it, because people say you should claim it before you have it and eventually it's yours? And I find it interesting that you did that and you ended up manifesting that in your life.
Yes, and I really get now more than ever that that's the way it works. It is the change in perception. Mm-hmm. It is transformation. It's the way we choose to see through our eyes. We can use our soul contact lens, or we can use our human ego lens. And I tell you, the soul one feels so much better. You don't even care if the proof is here or not. Mm-hmm. I found a quarter this morning. I went to Starbucks, got my little coffee, came home, did 2 hours on my novel like I do every day now. And when I came back out to the car, the quarter was there. And that quarter for me personally, in the appreciating world and the feeling good, was as exciting as if it had been $1,000. And it's a quarter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I put it on my desk so I could look over and smile while I was writing about Chang and Aang. Yeah. So yeah, you have to shift here, as you said. Mm-hmm. We all know that. In our minds and then in our feelings. Our feelings create our reality, not our thoughts.
Yeah. It's funny how the signs are right there in front of us, but I don't know many people who actually pay attention and see them. And I know it's very easy. You know, a lot of people go, you're very positive and this and that, but I just can't do that. And it's easy to tell people, well, just think positive. But that's the whole thing.
It is.
If you stop thinking for 2 seconds.
Girl, I just saw Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I know.
If you can just sit for 2 seconds and not think, I mean, 2 seconds can be a very long time.
It can be an eternity for some people.
Truly.
It's the truth.
Yeah. And I have a question. So you're hearing, I don't know if you call it your spiritual guides or who's speaking to you.
Yeah.
Do you get actual names of who's talking to you all the time? Or
not all the time. I have a guide that I've had since I was a little boy. His name is Benjamin. And he truly, since I was a little boy, when I would sneak off and cry because, you know, daddy's beating mama, or mm-hmm. mama hit him in the head with a lamp, or go mama, or bad things would happen, I would literally just sort of steal away because I was the overly sensitive kid,
right.
And which was the sign of weakness, which now I'm going to be put on the cross with everybody else and burn. I would go inside, and this is the first guide that came to me consistently and said, your sensitivity will be what helps you help millions of people one day. And I'd be like,
seeing that's taking your gifts and embracing it, though, where someone else would see it, you know what I mean, like that as a negative thing. Oh, you're sensitive, you're a wuss, you're this, you know,
yeah.
And you decided to take what is yours and what you own and your unique gift and, you know, put it out for the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And as far as the spirit guides and stuff, I don't often get names for people's spirit guides. I just know they're there.
Yeah.
And they'll start talking.
Yeah.
Right. Well, folks, we are out of time. Eddie, why don't you go ahead and plug your show and your DVDs and everything? I mean, you've got a lot of stuff going on.
Oh, yeah. It's fun. It's Monday nights, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here at LATalkRadio.com. And it's High Frequency Living with Eddie and Friends. We have Melanie Benz, actress. We have Victor Renown.
And she's got the cutest chihuahua ever.
Oh,
she brings it in with it.
Yeah, Biggie Smalls.
Yeah.
He's got a little toot. We love him. Little dog, little toot.
I got a toot.
Yeah, oh, bring it on, a butter toot, honey. Not you. And just check out the website, eddieconner.com. I'm an E-R, C-O-N-N-E-R, not an or.
Not an or, he's an air.
So thanks for inviting me.
Thank you for coming.
I'm playing with you
awesome.
Guys.
You're
a lot of fun.
Yay, high five.
A lot of fun. Eddie is definitely a lot of fun. Very, very nice man. I mean, one of the nicest I've ever met.
Really?
And yes.
Here?
Can you believe it?
No.
Yeah. Well, call
anyone's
me,
nice compared to Sam.
Call me crazy.
We'll bring you to the
He's
south,
just
Sam.
Never met anyone that's lived in a double wide.
I'm going to have me a triple wide, Sam.
All right, everyone. Thank you for joining us. Kelly, thanks for coming in again.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Sherry, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And we'll be back here tomorrow.
And now it's time for the best morning show on radio, broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio in Studio City, California. Get ready for Sam in the Morning.